Welcome to Family Talk.
If a few years ago I told you that there would come a day when a major motion picture would be releasing featuring sexual abuse, sadomasochism, and the complete degradation of women, would you have believed me? Well, my friends, that day is here. And on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, I'm going to interview Teresa Tomeo, a great spokesperson, radio host, and a good friend of mine about the many problems with 50 Shades of Grey. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Dr. Meg Meeker, and as most of you know, this past weekend, a horrible movie was released in theaters titled 50 Shades of Grey. The movie, based on the internationally blockbuster book series, has been rightly nicknamed mommy porn and is an absolutely disgusting series that should never have been written, let alone made into a movie. Well, today I've asked a good friend of mine, nationally syndicated radio talk show host Teresa Tomeo, to be on the program to talk about the problems with 50 Shades of Grey and what it's doing to our culture. Teresa is an author, a talk show host, a motivational speaker, and a professor for St. Benedict Press. She's made appearances on Fox News, MSNBC, and the Dr. Laura Show. But most importantly, as it relates to today's program, she has a heart for women and has written many books to encourage women in their walk with the Lord. Teresa, thanks for being on the show.
Meg, it's so good to talk to you again. It's fun being on the other end, you interviewing me as opposed to me interviewing you.
Boy, we get talking on stuff and we forget we're on the radio, don't we?
Absolutely. Well, I'm a huge fan of your work, and you've done such a great deal of work in helping people understand who they are in Christ, and especially helping parents help their children understand that as well.
Well, right back at you, friend. You know, and we have a lot of work to do. You know, 50 Shades of Grey, probably 6 months ago, you and I had a conversation about the fact that, you know, the trilogy of 50 Shades of Grey was coming out in a movie February 14th for Valentine's Day, which is the irony of all ironies. And I am struck that this has become an international blockbuster because women, not just in America, but all around the world, are gobbling this stuff up. And it's disturbing. And yet, in some way, I kind of understand it. But we wanted to do a program around this issue to talk to Christian women and about how should we respond? What do we say? What should we be thinking? Should we watch this movie? What do we need to tell our kids about the movie? Because it's going to be a big deal. And unfortunately, I think it's going to be a big, big hit this year.
Well, there's been so much promotion already, and you and I talked about this when the trailer was shown last summer. Now, how often do we see trailers of films that are 6 months out
right. Shown?
It's ridiculous, and so it just gives you an idea of just how much money is behind this. And the other thing that's very frightening to me in watching the trailers is that they make it seem as if this is a story about sweet romance and a wonderful romantic relationship, and it makes the whole idea of this relationship between Christian and Anastasia seem very, very innocent.
Right.
And it's anything but. It's absolutely disgusting. And You're right. It's shocking to me, and then again, it isn't, that so many women are gobbling this up. And you know, Meg, that even magazines such as Prevention Magazine, and I know this would drive you crazy being a doctor, Prevention Magazine, Dr. Phil, Oprah, and others are saying, oh, this is fine.
Okay.
You know, introduce this type of, you know, sex into your relationship at home. We have just really, as my friend Archbishop Vigneron from the Archdiocese of Detroit says, we have stepped through the looking glass. It's bizarro world out there.
We really have. And just to bring some of our listeners up to speed who may not know what 50 Shades of Grey is all about, it is a story about a young woman, Anastasia, in her young 20s, I believe, who is very innocent. She wears sort of cashmere button-down sweaters and her skirts and looks very, very innocent, goes to work for a man named Christian Grey, of all names. Christian Grey, he's a 20-something billionaire. He has a lot of power. He's very wealthy. He's very handsome and very attractive. And there's immediately, you can see this in the book and in the trailer of the movie, there's this chemistry that's going between the two of them, and they're, you know, the very innocent and the very sort of dark but handsome and intriguing and alluring man. And I think that's what really grabs women. As the story progresses, they become involved in a relationship, and this Christian Grey says to Anastasia, "I don't do romance," but what he goes on to tell her is that he does. He doesn't do love. He's not very emotional, but he does participate in sadomasochistic sexual activity, and he invites her into his world. She gets caught up in his world, and then it just keeps going and going. But I think there are a couple of things that hook women on this, because I'm surprised at how many women have read it and they justify reading it. And I think that the allure is twofold. One is that it's sort of a good guy, bad guy. Is the good girl going to win the heart of this man on the dark side and bring him over to the light side? And then there's also the intrigue with many women have not been exposed to, for good reason, S&M behavior. And I think that a lot of people will sort of read it with their jaws dropping open going, I can't believe this. I can't believe this. So I know that there are going to be women who are listening to our program right now who have read it and saying, wait a minute, I like it. And we're here to say, we understand the allure in wanting to read it, and we're not trying to demonize people who have read it, but to try to understand there are some real serious issues and problems here when we bring literature like this to this public screen where children can see it. I think it's bad for women and bad for men, but now children, for the first time in American history, are going to see not just what producers would call soft porn in an R-rated movie, but they're going to see S&M porn in an R-rated movie. And this, if this doesn't disturb every mom out there, then she has been really desensitized to what's going on around her.
Yeah, I think so. And I think the problem, too, is that the desensitization is the key, because so many of us are seeing all these images, and you and I talk about a lot about this on my program, over and over and over again. And the Parents Television Council has been one, I think, of the best to raise awareness about the amount of violence on TV that involves women. And that has just skyrocketed. First of all, we're just talking about television. That has skyrocketed in the last 10 to 15 years. Mm-hmm. The violence on TV against women is much higher than in, you know, general violence, for example, you know, the shoot 'em up type of programs. When you have some of these highly sexualized crime programs, women are often the victims, and
yes,
much of it does involve what you were just talking about, sadomasochism.
Yeah.
So we're being desensitized, and you know this as a pediatrician, that young girls are thinking that some sort of abuse, physical abuse, is just to be expected, and in some cases it's a sign,
yes,
that their boyfriend loves them.
Yeah.
You know, and they get concerned if they don't become physical with them, because that's what everybody's doing. So there's this constant messaging that's thrown at us 24/7. You know, Meg, I was doing some research for an article I wrote for a national paper I write for, and it was about 50 Shades of Grey and the release of the movie. And just for the heck of it, I did a search on Google for accessories associated with the books and the film. You can get little handcuff earrings, you can get handcuff chokers, you can get T-shirts that say, I love Mr. Grey, with handcuffs on them.
Mm.
You can get a T-shirt for your husband or your boyfriend that says, I am Mr. Grey.
Wow.
The fact that we have gone so far over the edge, and I think I told you this when the books first came out and we were talking about it on my show, that I had a Christian counselor write me and say, how dare you say this is bad? I'm encouraging couples to bring this into the bedroom.
Wow.
Yeah, and so, but I get your point is well taken. This is about desensitization, yeah, and I think a lot of women don't even realize that there's anything wrong with it, because when you turn on the TV at prime time, you're consistently seeing this kind of behavior.
Yeah.
And not, I'm not just talking about cable. I'm talking about regular networks, ABC, CBS, and NBC, these major crime shows, especially CBS has a whole series of them.
Right.
There is the great violence that's in there, but it's mainly portrayed against women.
Yeah.
And so they're, you know, really thinking that this is something that's happening, you know, all over the place. And so what's the big deal? Maybe it'll spice up my relationship.
Right.
It's very, very damaging. And
yeah,
it just goes to the overall degradation of women.
Yeah.
And I think what we have to do is we really have to point it out and talk to women about, you know, do you know who you are in Christ?
Right.
Don't you know that Christ wants so much more for you?
Right.
Think about the way he treated women. And think about, he was so far ahead of his time where he met women where they were at,
yeah,
but he didn't leave them there.
No.
And he said, you're better than this. The woman at the well, he didn't, you know, condemn her.
No.
He talked about her, about her life with her, and lovingly approached her. But then he said, you know what? You're better than this.
Yes.
You're better than that man that you're living with who's not your husband. and he changed her life.
He changed her life. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, as Christian women, the notion of, you know, reading or watching or looking at something that Christ died to overcome is just very, very disturbing. You had mentioned violence against women and sexual violence against women in the media, mainstream media, not even just with movies. And there are studies to show that now it's not just violence and sexual violence against women, but against younger and younger women.
Right.
And the weird twist is that they are making it appear humorous. And they found that when there's sexual violence against younger and younger women, the humor level goes up and up. You know, it produces a lot of laughs on behalf of the audience, and that's very disturbing, too. But we have seen as well that those out there who are against the pro-life movement, which you and I are very involved in, the pro-life movement, who are teaching against that, you know, the Planned Parenthood clinics, for instance, are educating young people that S&M sexual activity is really acceptable and it's okay. And we found Lila Rose has done some terrific work on uncovering those who are instructing young people on quote-unquote setting boundaries and limits around violent behavior against you. You know, it's just really, really disturbing. But what bothers me is that we have a group of people who now have watched so much and who are so desensitized, we don't even see it as violence or a problem anymore. But I think whenever you separate sexual activity from love,
right,
and from the marital relationship, it just gets more and more and more twisted. And I think Christian Grey epitomizes that. I don't love, I don't do romance, but I do this dark behavior. And he lures and sucks her into it. Teresa, you are very well versed on media impact on our culture and on people and on children. Can you talk to us about the wonderful study that came out from Michigan State University looking at 50 Shades of Grey and its effect on people who read it?
This is what I think is so fascinating. This is why we should never be afraid to use science to reach someone for God, because God is a great scientist. And
yes.
Sometimes people will say, and you and I have talked about this, well, you know, we have to quote a scripture verse or whatever, or this, you know, teaching or that. I can do that all day long, but if someone is unchurched and doesn't know the Lord, that's probably not going to, at least in the first or second encounter, really make that much of an impression on them. But when you start showing them and talking to them just from a very pragmatic basis, scientific, medical, psychological, then they start to listen to you, especially,
yes,
again, if they don't have any type of a Christian background, because we never should be afraid of this evidence, because it backs up the truth,
yep,
of how we're designed,
mm-hmm,
and made in God's image and likeness. So I found this to be very interesting. There was actually two studies that came out, and it was conducted by a PhD from Michigan State University in our neck of the woods, in our home state of Michigan,
yeah,
and you can look up this article online, but it's entitled Double Crap, Abuse and Harmed Identity in 50 Shades of Grey. Now, it was published last year, not in a religious journal, not in some, you know, Christian magazine, a Protestant magazine or a Catholic magazine, but in the Journal of Women's Health.
Yeah.
This is the Journal of Women's Health that is saying this. Basically, what they found is they looked at the book and they studied it and they looked at the patterns and they said every single thing about this book from the very beginning, right off the top, it is definitely identified as intimate partner violence.
Yes.
As explained by the Centers for Disease Control. I mean, and he stalks her. He verbally abuses her. He actually forces her to consume alcohol before they have sexual relations.
Yes.
So there's all these different aspects of abuse, psychological abuse, physical abuse. And then, of course, you didn't even get into the Red Room of Pain, which is his big thing in the books. All these different patterns. And again, this was studied by researchers, sociologists, and this particular one came out of Michigan State University.
Secular, yes.
It's secular, where three women were looking at this material. Then they also put it before young people and had women read this and found that women who read this material are more likely to engage in risky sexual behavior.
Yes.
This is not rocket science.
Right.
This is common sense.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, again, as disturbing as this is, to see adult women go through this. And I don't want to exclude men, because I really do think that this is abusive towards men. I think if you turn the tables, this is just as degrading to men as it is to women. Mm-hmm. You know, but that's a little bit of a different conversation. But
right. What
really disturbs me, you know, is the effect that it will have on kids, on teenagers, because I wrote an article on 50 Shades maybe a year ago, and I got a lot of pushback from a lot of women saying, how dare you, you know, I'm reading it in the privacy of my home. And I said, well, do your kids know you're reading that? Well, they don't know what it's about. Well, how old are they? 10, 11, 12? Oh, you bet they know. How do you feel about the fact that they know their mother is sitting there reading pornography? Are you okay with that? And I said, well, I don't know. But back to the effect that it can have on young children. And I know in her study, I don't believe she studied children, did she? She just talked about women.
She was talking about women, and she actually gave the book to college students and young women to read and then actually follow them in terms of their behavior. But I wanted to pick up a point that you made about people say, well, I'm doing this in the privacy of my own home. Well, they wouldn't say that about pedophilia. They wouldn't say that about physical abuse. If somebody was doing it, a lot of things are done in the privacy of our own home. It doesn't mean that it's correct. And then secondly, you're supporting the pornographic industry.
Exactly.
You're adding to the billions and billions of dollars that these pornographers make. And if you're a Christian, pornography is directly connected, and there are a number of different studies on this, directly connected to the increase in abortion. Why?
Yes.
Because as you said earlier, when sex is recreational and it's not seen as God wants us to see it and how God wants us to treat it for husband and wife, the dominoes begin to fall
everywhere.
And so if you take it out of the marriage, where are most of the abortions performed? On women who are single, right?
Yes.
And so this is directly connected. So you can sit there and say, well, I'm just reading it, blah, 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 but you're engaging in something that's very dangerous. So a lot of people are, again, going back to our discussion on the desensitization aspect, because they're so used to seeing this horrible type of material out there, they've accepted it as normal, and they don't stop and think and connect the dots. We as Christians have got to look at the big picture. Mm-hmm. There is a reason we are designed a certain way. God has a plan, and sex is beautiful, but when it is practiced in the sanctity of the marriage, when you take it out of that, everything goes wrong, and there's just so much scientific evidence and sociological research and psychological evidence to show what we're doing to ourselves when we abuse this, and we just keep doing it more and more.
Talk to us from a research standpoint about what we know happens to people who watch violence and watch, you know, soft porn, whatever, or sex on TV. Does that affect their behavior? Because over and over, and I hear this, and I know you hear this too, well, and men will do this, or boys will do this with video games. It's okay for me to play violent video games, because just playing them is not going to make me a murderer. So in other words, I can do this because I'm okay. And I think there are a lot of women who believe, I can read these books and I can go to this movie, but that's not going to turn me into somebody bad. Can you speak to the effects mm-hmm. on the heart and the mind and the behavior of people who watch this kind of stuff?
Yeah, there's another excellent resource, and this is coming to us from the good state of Pennsylvania, and a woman who actually was very involved in investigating sexual trauma cases, and she's a PhD and a psychologist. Her name is Mary Ann Layden. And again, this is someone coming from a secular university, and she's not looking at this from a religious perspective. She's looking at the research, and she actually dealt very early in her career with victims of sexual trauma. And she's been doing a lot of lecturing the last couple of years on pornography, and she's been talking most recently with some other porn experts in the Christian world, including Matt Frad, about the effects of 50 Shades of Grey. But I found a paper that she did a couple of years ago. It said, Pornography and Violence, A New Look at Research. And I'm just going to read just a couple of lines from it just to give you a general idea. Pornography is a potent teacher of both beliefs and behaviors, and in fact provides the ideal conditions for learning. It can teach not only specific sexual behaviors, but general attitudes toward women and children, what relationships are like, and the nature of sexuality. Certainly some important reactions are inborn and instinctual, but the great majority of our beliefs and behaviors have been learned.
Mm-hmm.
Once we learn them, we also learn if it's acceptable to engage in the behaviors and are sometimes stimulated to do just that. For many reasons, as we shall see, and she goes on in this extensive paper, pornography is a very effective teacher of beliefs and behaviors, and one that also teaches its users that the behaviors are acceptable and stimulates them to do so.
Mm. Wow.
And that's just the first paragraph of this very detailed paper of what she studied, the connection between pornography and violence.
Yeah.
And again, there's been other experts that have been out there talking about this for years. There's a gentleman who's a teacher, a journalism professor, who started researching this. He's down in Austin, Texas, and he goes around lecturing about what pornography is doing to men and their attitudes toward women.
Oh, yeah.
He says he's actually interviewed men who were charged with sexual assault, rape, okay, but they didn't realize that they were actually raping a woman because they were so involved in violent pornography that they had seen so much of it that they just thought that it was normal.
Yeah. As many of our listeners know, maybe you know, Dr. Dobson actually interviewed Ted Bundy prison before he died. And Ted Bundy said to Dr. Dobson, pornography played an enormous part in the murders that he committed and the violence against women. And if we can do anything, and the takeaway for Dr. Dobson then, and it still is now because it's a lot worse than it was then, is to do everything we can to discourage adult men and women from using, reading, watching, whatever, pornography, because it does lead even normal people, and obviously I wouldn't say Ted Bundy, you know, had normal intellectual or emotional capacity, but it does affect every person who reads. And so I think that women who say, well, you know, it's a great storyline, or it's a, you know, or I don't know anything about this and I'd never participate in this. If you believe that you can sit down and go into a movie theater and watch 50 Shades of Grey and come out as the same person that you went in being, you are really mistaken, because it changes you in ways that you don't know. And then you factor into the equation, what about young men or young boys or young girls who are from broken homes and they're very vulnerable and they have a low self-esteem and nobody is teaching them, you know, could it be that going into a theater and watching a movie like this or reading books like this tips them over the edge? And the answer is yes, it could. You know, and we can't predict which of those people are going to get put over the edge or they're not. But anybody.
It's very addicting. It's extremely addicting.
Exactly.
It's more addicting, they say, than crack cocaine. And in watching some videos of some of the professors online today in preparation for this interview that we're doing, one of the professors actually said, the psychologist said that she thinks that that's an understatement. She said it's more addicting, especially to men, more than crack cocaine. But I wanted to go back to, remember I mentioned the gentleman from
Austin,
Robert Jensen,
yes,
professor of journalism who's been researching this. But this is an article I found, and this was actually published in 2014, but I just found it fascinating. Again, another major secular university. He goes around now, Meg, lecturing to those who are running domestic violence shelters for women around the country. So this is a journalism professor who's written about media. He has no religious dog in the fight. He's now going around to these secular domestic violence shelters that are dealing with an increase of battered women and all kinds of bizarre relationships. But this is just one article that I found where he was, you know, lecturing, and the local paper interviewed him. He says, women are reporting things like sexualized assaults in the context of domestic violence that they've never experienced before, and that seem to be taken straight out of a pornographic movie.
Wow, that is just so, so disturbing.
And these are women who are, and he goes on to say in this article, who are from, let's say, you know, middle class or upper middle class homes. Sometimes we associate domestic violence with people in the inner city or people from impoverished areas, but we're seeing this now across the board. And I know that you and I speak a great deal out there.
Yeah.
And we're across the country several times a month speaking. And how many times have people come up to you talking about pornography and this issue and that media consumption, how concerned they are about their kids? Right? But this issue of pornography is just seems to be taking over. And it's affecting women, maybe not quite as much as men now, but with this 50 Shades of Grey, I think this has now hooked women, and women are going to be going over the edge more and more like men.
You know, they absolutely are. We are... out of time for our program today, but I feel like we've just scratched the surface, Teresa. So what I would like to do is continue our conversation. Would you be free to do another show and to come back on air?
I would do 10 more shows on this, girlfriend, because okay. I think this is so important. And first, let me say also thank you to Dr. Dobson and everything that he has done. I've been a huge fan of his for years, and God bless him for being one of the first to really, really bring this out into the open.
Yeah, yeah, and to really fight pornography.
Yes.
Because you
yes.
go into that fight, you step right into Satan's lair.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and yes. It's an ugly place to be. Well, thank you so much, and we will pick up right where we left off tomorrow. If you would like more information about Teresa Tamio or her radio program, please visit our website, drjamesdobson.org, or call us at 877-732-6825. Thank you for joining us today. This was a very important program, and we'll see you again next time for our conclusion of the program, The Problem with 50 Shades of Grey, right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.